on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Welcome to The Flight by Yuengling, Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks lose to the Vancouver Canucks 6-3 on trade deadline day. The Vancouver Canucks, I think John was mentioning that the, or Steve, was it you that mentioned that Canucks were on a 9-game road losing streak? Was it John?
That was John, yeah.
Well, guess what? The Vancouver Canucks now have an 8-game road winning streak against the Blackhawks.
Wow.
How about that? They have the Vancouver Canucks.
Shocking.
I have no idea how that's possible, but the Vancouver Canucks had just 3 wins since Christmas coming into tonight's game. They beat the Blackhawks. We're going to bring in Steve Conroy now to help me break down this game. And Steve, I want to start here. Trade deadline day is always an emotional time, especially when you're a seller like the Blackhawks. And given what had transpired over the last, 48, 72 hours, where they lose Jason Dickinson and Colton Dock, both of whom were beloved in the room. They lose Captain Nick Foligno, who was traded earlier today. They lost Connor Murphy on Monday when he got traded to the Edmonton Oilers. It just feels like this game was kind of set up for the Blackhawks to have maybe an emotionally deflating performance. What stings, though, is the fact that it came against the Vancouver Canucks. They are dead last in the NHL, so you almost feel like you could use that as an excuse, but Vancouver is pretty thin as well, and so it was just an unfortunate result by the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I thought there might be a letdown in this hockey game, but they scored the first goal, and the fans got into it, and it seemed like the bench was into it. But then, I don't know what it was, they just kind of collapsed in their own zone. The next 4.5 minutes, that's when Vancouver scored those 3 goals, and it was just a loose coverage. Guys who were in position, but they didn't really have their man. They weren't taking away the stick. They weren't, getting position on them. And an easy penetration, too, from Vancouver. A couple of times, defensemen kind of jumping in from the point and finding an easy lane towards the net. So I just didn't like that. It was about a 10-minute period of period number one that they just, I'm not too sure what happened. They just kind of went brain dead for a little bit. But then, given that, I really like their second period. I think they ended up out shooting Vancouver 10-6 in the second period. Definitely outchanced them. That's when Connor Bedard was really at his best. Was absolutely outstanding during parts of that second period. I believe he did. He hit the post in the second period.
Yep.
So, they were that close to maybe getting the lead. And then, unfortunately, early in that third period, you take a penalty, Alex Vlasic, one of your top penalty killers, in the penalty box. And, that's one I think Arvid Soderblom, out of all the goals tonight, that's one he'd like to have back. Just the rebound that he gave up. And, goaltenders will tell you, they're very good about placing rebounds, and they don't want to direct it in front of their net, and especially if it's on the penalty kill, and it was right to Brock Besser. And I give Brock, a lot of credit here. He knocked it 3 feet out of midair, bunted it right into the empty net, but that was basically the game-winning goal.
What are your thoughts on the NHL having games on trade deadline day? Like, we were talking to Nick Foligno actually after practice yesterday, and he spoke to the media, and then after the cameras went off, we were kind of just getting his feel actually, he might have actually said this. I think he said it in the media as well. Like, he thinks it's stupid that there are NHL games on trade deadline day, and I'm kind of right there with him. Like, it felt like it was just a whirlwind of a day with a lot going on, and I can remember early on this season, it might have been the third or fourth day of the regular season that began in the NHL, like early October, and there was like a Friday night where there were 0 NHL games, and it like made no sense to me. And
yeah.
I was like, well, why can't we just take that Friday and kind of drop it into trade deadline day? Because it feels like there's just so much going around in the NHL that you're just not going to get a great product. But also, I was going through my intermission scores around the NHL scores, and it's like Detroit and Colorado, like they had all the Dallas, they had all these big time acquisitions, and none of the acquisitions were able to play in the game. Mm-hmm. So like, it almost would be better if there were no games on trade deadline day, and then kind of set up a Saturday night where you got 16 games and everyone showcasing their new talent.
I think that's a great idea. I think it would be great for the NHL because everyone would watch the trade deadline show. And if you had it, let's say at 6 o'clock, well, no, make it, you can make it later that night.
Yeah.
Make it later that night and you prime time maybe, and you get people talking about hockey, people watching what happens. I could see that. And in this from a guy who I think I was traded three different times on trade deadline day. I think at one time I held the record for I was tied with the most times moved at trade deadline day. So I know I went from Calgary to the Islanders on trade deadline day. I believe I went from Chicago to Hartford on trade deadline day.
Is that a compliment or is that a, because you got three teams that are like, hey, we want Steve Conrad at the trade deadline. So how did you take that as a player?
I wasn't crazy about it, especially getting traded from Chicago. Yeah. But I was going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. And I knew that something like that could happen. And that's exactly what ended up happening. So, I agree. But that all being said, this year's a little different season because it was a compressed schedule. And you got to get the games in when you can get the games in. And I know right now the Blackhawks, I think we worked it out, right? The last 21 games come in 40 days. So it's going to be crazy. And if you knock this day as an off day, then obviously you got to play on a different day. And now you're down to, 20 days or 21 games in 39 days. So, it's tough. And it's tough on the players, especially the guys who get traded. And I believe, and I think you mentioned it, Connor Murphy and Colton Dock and Jason Dickinson all playing tonight.
All made their debut for Edmonton tonight.
For the Edmonton Oilers. So let's see what happens there. But I think if you ask the guys in the dressing room, they wouldn't want to make any types of mistakes, whether it was guys we were missing, whether it was, seeing your captain traded. They realize that this is a game they probably should have had, and they let it slip through their fingers.
And I don't know how to verify this, Steve, but all three members of the Blackhawks leadership group were traded this week. Nick Foligno wearing the C, Jason Dickinson wearing the A, Connor Murphy wearing the A. What they bring on the ice is obviously enormous. Jason Dickinson shut down third line center, takes important faceoffs. Connor Murphy, defensive defenseman, first guy over the boards on a penalty kill. Colton Dock was as close to Connor Bedard, Ryan Green, some of the younger players, so they kind of felt the impact, even though Colton was kind of in and out of the lineup for the Blackhawks. So maybe that the Blackhawks' younger players kind of felt that more off the ice than they did on the ice. And so I just feel like there was certainly an emotion. There was a different emotional energy from the Blackhawks today. And if you're, again, not trying to make excuses whatsoever, but when you remove the three leadership voices inside that Blackhawks locker room in Foligno, Dickinson, and Murphy, like when things go sideways in the game today, you're almost like looking for Foligno, you're looking for Dickinson, or you're looking for Murphy. They're not there. And so it's like, this is going to be different territory for some of these young players.
Yeah, who's going to take charge? And somebody will eventually, and they'll realize that. So I'll say about Colton Dock, too. He led this team in hits. We're not the most physical team in the NHL, and sometimes you can turn a game around with a big hit. And Colton Dock was willing to fight, and there's not a lot of guys, and Nick Foligno was, too. So now you take two of your fighters
and
out of
Murphy.
The lineup. And Murph, that's right. Murph had dropped the gloves. So, that changes the complexion of your team just a little bit. And I'm not saying they played afraid tonight. They certainly didn't. But, that all being said, those are important attributes to have amongst any team. I mean, I'll still tell you, today's NHL, like yesterday's NHL, yesteryear's NHL, it's a game of intimidation. And you can intimidate other teams and kind of change their game plan that way. But, I agree. And I think for Jeff Blashill, it'll be tough, too, because those guys were great sounding boards in the dressing room, whether it was Foligno or Murphy or Dickinson. And he kind of sense the pulse of the team through those guys, and he wasn't afraid to bounce ideas off those guys before he went to the team with it. So it's going to be the next leadership group, and that was one of my keys tonight. It's they're passing the torch, and the torch has been passed, and it's going to be Connor Bedard, and it's going to be Frankie Nazar, and it's going to be Alex Vlasic, and I think those guys are up to it. But you'd love to see them start to win some hockey games without some of your key players. And I thought tonight would have been a great opportunity for that. Vancouver Canucks aren't a very good team. They're last in the NHL, but they're proud. And you knew they were going to push and they were going to work hard, and they did tonight. And they just took advantage of too many Blackhawk mistakes.
Yeah, and another thing to think about too. Like when Connor Bedard went down with an injury on December 12th, the Hawks were right there in the thick of the playoff race. And now you fast forward to the trade deadline, and the Hawks are going to be right there with Vancouver. I mean, Vancouver is way down there, so I don't think the Hawks are going to catch Vancouver as far as dead last. But they're going to be, you know, among the bottom five now moving forward as far as teams to watch in the lottery. And so I wonder if the Blackhawks, too, are just kind of, some of these young players are thinking, man, like 2-3 months ago, we were right there in the playoffs, and now, you know, we have, you know, we sell off some of our guys. And so I wonder if that, too, has crept into their minds psychologically, that they're going to have to compartmentalize and be like, all right, this is our team moving forward. We have to find a way to power through this adversity.
Well, I think it does. I think it's just human nature, you know. And at one point, they were just, I think it was 2 or 4 points out of a playoff spot. And let me see, I don't have the updated stats right now, but going into this hockey game, it looks like we were about 12 points out of a playoff spot. So that's a pretty big hill to climb, and it takes a lot. It makes the season a lot longer when you're that far out, and then you're losing hockey games too. So, you know, I look back at this last week, and, you know, they went into Utah, and they played one of their best games this year. They win 4-0. Utah had, you know, one of those teams that was looking for a playoff spot, and they might be in the playoffs right now. I'm not sure. So they win that game convincingly. Then they go into Winnipeg, and it was a game that they, you know, certainly should have won, and they didn't. They were up 2-1 with very little time left in the game, and they let it slip through their fingers, and they lose that one. And now they lose this one tonight, where, again, I thought they very easily could have won a hockey game. So, you know, at some point, I know you're a young team, but you have to start learning those tough lessons, and you have to realize what it takes to win. And it's, you know, playing every shift, not taking any time off, and then, you know, finishing the game off, and they weren't able to do that.
All right, last one for you. The new kid participated, and I shouldn't say kid because he's kind of a veteran at this point, but Andrew Mangiapane made his Blackhawks debut in this game. Didn't get much ice time, just 8 minutes and 36 seconds, had 3 hits. Your thoughts on how he performed. I think he also drew a penalty as well, and yeah, he sat in the penalty box himself with the roughing, but he was kind of in the thick of it.
Well, he was, and, you know, to think of it, what a whirlwind couple of days it's been for him. I think he got in late last night. You were telling me
he said midnight or 1 a.m.
And I'm sure he didn't sleep very well because he's thinking about today's game. I thought he afforded himself very well. He almost tied the game, like, in that third period. Unfortunately, I don't know, and I've looked at this replay a couple of times. I don't know how the puck stayed out, and then it was clear that Landon Slaggart kicked the puck into the net. So it was the right, you know, call for a non-goal. Because it was kicked in. But prior to that, I thought he showed great patience holding on to the puck, circling the net a little bit. Don't know how it didn't go in. But, yeah, I think for a first game, that's great. And I think the team will be happy with him. You know, he was on the ice. I think it was for the first goal where he could have tied up a stick and he didn't. I'll give him a pass on that. And I think the team will give him a pass on that too. But, yeah, they're expecting a lot from this team. Even though the leadership group's been taken out, a lot of talent's been taken out of this lineup, there's still a lot of talent here, and they're capable of winning hockey games. They won without Connor Bedard, you know, before, and Connor Bedard's in the lineup. So, I think that this coaching staff is not going to give them a free pass. It's going to be, guys, I know we're without some key players, but you guys are capable of doing more, and they're going to expect more in this next game.
Awesome. Steve, great stuff as always. Flying to Dallas tomorrow with the team. We've got a quick one-off against the Stars, then back home against
Utah.
Monday? Utah.
I believe, yeah. So that's going to be tough because not only do we play Dallas and then have to come back here and play the next day, you lose an hour of sleep. I always worry about losing sleep. So we lose the we spring ahead.
I think we spring forward.
We spring forward on Sunday night. So we're going to lose an hour there. And then,
rats.
Know, we're going to be really tired on Monday.
You know what that means, though? That means we get an extra hour of sunlight at the end, at the end of the day, which is always nice because now when we're driving to the United Center, it will still be light out,
which would be nice. Yeah.
Usually it's like pitch black when we're driving.
Hey, just to bring fans up to speed on our bet, Robert Thomas did not get traded.
And that's going
to
do it.
Everyone else got traded but Robert Thomas. So if you would have hit on that, I would have bought you a Greek beer. I'll still buy you a beer, but it's not going to be a Greek beer.
Okay, in my defense, in that moment, because you did put me on the spot, right?
I did,
you said what it was going to be the biggest move. And in that moment, I went to, I thought about the biggest name that could get moved, and it was Robert Thomas.
Yeah.
However, I over-indexed, and I said he will get moved. But I wish I could retract and say that if there is the big name move, it is going to be Robert Thomas. Yeah. But I still owe you a beverage.
No, you don't owe me anything.
I will accept defeat.
You know, I thought Robert Thomas would have got traded before Nazem Kadri. I was shocked that Nazem Kadri ended up in Colorado. I don't know how Colorado did it, but Kadri back in Colorado. So we will see. It's an arms race, and it'll be fun right to the end.
Yes, it will be fun. Great stuff as always. We'll talk in a couple days from Dallas.
Thanks, Charlie. You too.
All right, we have some Blackhawks sound rolling in from the locker room. The newly acquired forward, Andrew Mangiapane. I'll defer to John Weideman. And then Frank Nazar looks like he talked as well. So we'll hear what those guys had to say when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Across the Canuck line to the right wing corner. Fed it back to Vlasic, top of the left circle. Shoots, he scores! And I believe it's going to be Frank Nazar's goal. He was crossing in front of the Canuck net. It looked like he redirected that shot past the goaltender, Tolopilo. We're tied at three.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Blackhawks fall to the Vancouver Canucks 6-3 on trade deadline day. That was Frank Nazar's eighth goal of the season. It tied things up at 3-3 after the Blackhawks fell behind 3-1 in the first period. And then, unfortunately, Vancouver scores the next three to win this game 6-3. Frank Nazar, I thought he was one of the best forwards, skaters on the ice for the Blackhawks. And, boy, he's been snake-bitten in the goal department this season. Specifically over the last like month or so, and I think he's been generating chances. Great to see him finally get one. He also added an assist. Let's hear what Nazar had to say after this game.
Were emotions involved in this one tonight? I mean, obviously there's been a lot of changes here the last couple of days, and you know, did that have an impact on you guys tonight at all?
I mean, at the end of the day, we're here to play for Chicago, right? So we got to focus on that first and than where everybody else is going. So we got to show up tonight, including myself, play better defense, and you know, just be ready from the start. That's about it.
The last 40 minutes, it seemed like you guys generated a lot of chances. Were you happy with what you created? Just, you know, tough to not get more to go in.
Yeah, I think that's a positive we could take out of that game today. Was I thought our ozone play and our creation was really, really good today, really strong. Like you said, we had a lot of great chances. But on the other end, got to work on some other things.
For you to get one, was that good to see you go in?
Yeah, obviously, it always feels good to score. It's like, I don't know, rush of dopamine, right? It's a, it's a hit, so it always feels great.
How do you think Mangiapane did in his debut for you guys?
Yeah, I thought he looked great. I mean, sucks there. That goal towards the end to tie it up didn't count, but that was a great play by him. And, you know, to go from Edmonton to Chicago and, you know, come in and play a game, you know, I thought he fit right in and did really well. So.
For the rest of the season, it's going to be kind of up to you and the other young guys to take over the leadership. What's your mentality approaching that responsibility?
Honestly, pretty similar. Obviously, the locker room's going to be quieter without Fliggy. He's a loud, vocal guy. Trying to think of the things that he says and say on, but just stick to saying what I say and being me. And the other guys are going to do the same. And it's going to work out.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Frank Nazar. Because the Blackhawks ended up trading away Nick Foligno, Connor Murphy, and Jason Dickinson, all three of whom wore letters on their sweater, Connor Bedard will be permanently wearing an A for the rest of the season, and then Tyler Bertuzzi was given a second A in this game today just as a veteran presence. Those are the only two players that had A's on their sweater. I believe the Blackhawks are looking as an opportunity to kind of reassess what their leadership group is going to look like over the summer and going into next year, because obviously Bedard, we know he's going to wear a letter. It's going to be a C at some point, but it was easy to give him an A, and I think the Hawks didn't want to give out another A to kind of cement themselves into that group moving forward permanently. I think they want to make sure they kind of let that breathe a little bit, and they can kind of revisit things over the off season and kind of going into next season. We'll see kind of what the new leadership group is going to be like for the Blackhawks. Andrew Mangiapane made his team debut. He logged just under 9 minutes of ice time and had 3 hits in this game. Let's hear what he had to say after wearing the Blackhawks sweater for the first time.
How was it for you tonight?
It was good. It was a lot of fun to get back in there, and it was a great atmosphere first and foremost, and just fun to play in, right? I think it was a little disappointing the way it kind of ended there. I thought our second, we kind of took the game over, and we were playing more. They're playing more like ourselves in a way, right? And I know I'm kind of new guy here, but that's how kind of we need to play, right? I think there was a lot of good things we did.
Frank said you kind of fit right in with everybody. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's a great group of guys here, and you see it. There's a lot of young, skilled talent, and a lot of life and energy in this dressing room, right? So it's fun team to be a part of, and you could just see it kind of on the ice and their skill and talent. So.
What's the key to adjusting so quickly?
Just lots of, I think, communication. I think that'll help me through it. Just learning the systems, little things like that. Right, I think that goes a long way. And knowing what the coach kind of wants from you, and what you could kind of offer to the team, and just talking it through. Right, it's going to be maybe mistakes out there, learning the new system. But the quicker I can adjust and adapt, and it'll make it, I guess, better for me and better for the team. And I think the only way to do that is through communication.
What did you see in that chance with 5 minutes left?
Yeah, I would have liked to put that home there. Don't really know what if he saved it or if it got blocked or something, right? So just got to bear down and put that in the back of the net.
You've played with some good players in your NHL career so far. What was your first impression of Connor Bedard after playing with him?
Oh, he's a good player, right? And I played with him at Worlds a couple of years ago, and it was my first time kind of watching him, right? And he's definitely matured and grown since then. And he's a special player in this league, and you could see it on that ice, the way he just kind of controls the puck and get chances, and his shots, unbelievable. So it was cool to see.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward, newly acquired forward, Andrew Mangiapane. I forgot that he played with Connor Bedard at the Worlds, and number 98 was really good in this game. He had 9 shot attempts, 4 shots on goal. Both of those categories led the Blackhawks in the game. I think led all skaters as well. So Connor Bedard, very good in this game. Unfortunately, didn't have anything to show for it. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks postgame show, including Jeff Blashill's postgame press conference. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, the Hawks fall to the Vancouver Canucks 6-3 here at the United Center, the second highest crowd of the season, 20,580. Let's do a quick tonight's ice times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Connor Bedard led the way for the Blackhawks in the minutes department at 23 minutes and 22 seconds of ice time. Artem Lefshinov was the leader among blue liners for Chicago at 20 minutes and 9 seconds. The Hawks went back to 11-7, so the defenseman minutes were a little bit more evenly distributed among those 7. Let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say about his team's performance in the 6-3 loss to Vancouver.
With this one, you had opportunities and everything, but was it more on the other end of not doing what was necessary to stop the opportunities they had?
Yeah, especially early. I think one of the things we've done really well coming out of the break, we were excellent defensively for 4 games. So that puts you in position to win games every night. It puts you in position to win games against any style of team. And I just thought tonight we weren't good enough defensively at all early. Showed you get down 3-1, and now after that I thought we played pretty well. I didn't think we gave up a whole bunch after that, but you take a penalty and find a way in the net, and so now you're down and you can't score. So we can't expect ourselves to be a team that's going to win 5-4, so you can't give up 4, so you got to find it. You got to make sure we're grounded defensively.
What was the reason behind the 7D?
Just the way I thought the lineup set up, and as we go through this, I definitely want to see Delly play. So, you know, sometimes that's going to be because of seven. Just gives me an opportunity to see him a little bit. And just the way the lineup shook out, I thought it was the right thing tonight.
What do you think of Oliver Moore in that third line center role?
Well, he kind of bounced around, to be honest with you. So he played a little bit with Burton, Mickey. Probably played more, honestly, with Mangiapane and Slags, and because I actually thought that line was good together. You know, they kind of did a good job of, like, grinding and pressure, and they're all a little bit dug in a bone. So, you know, I thought he had ups and downs, which is to be expected. You know, the one thing he hasn't done coming out of the break was playing a lot of center. He's just been playing center again a little bit, so he's getting used to things like coverage off D-zone face-offs, things like that. So he's getting used to that. But he also had pretty good jump, and I thought there was some positives and there was some negatives, and we're going to try to create more positives and negatives.
Did Mangiapane play to expectation?
Yeah, you know, trying to think, what did he play? You know, he played 8:52, so, you know, he didn't get a ton. He got really in a tough spot in the second there. There was like 4-on-4, and then power play, then penalty kill, and he's not on any of those right now. So, but I thought he did a good job. You know, I thought he showed the tenacity that I think he's going to have to be successful for us. Showed some ability with the puck to go along with that tenacity. That can be a real positive. So we'll see how it goes from here.
Spencer, I was at some later
illness, kind of later in the day. So there wasn't really, you know, not later in the day. Coming after, probably I did media, to be honest with you. He just kind of kept getting a little bit more and more ill. So that's the way it goes.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. If you joined us late, Spencer Knight was a late scratch in this game. Arvid Soderblom was between the pipes and gave up 6 goals on 22 shots in the loss. We got one more break, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, I got to make a quick correction here. Arvid Soderblom gave up only 4 goals on 22 shots. 2 of those goals by Vancouver were empty netters, plus 1 for Steve Conroy, who shot me the text of that correction while on the way home. So thank you so much, Steve. It's time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. Sacha Boisvert, number 18 overall pick for the Blackhawks, is in his sophomore season at Boston University. He was kind of dealing with an injury early on in the year that kind of impacted him, but he's got off to a better second half of the season. The Blackhawks are expecting him to turn pro at the end of the season. Very much looking forward to what he would bring to the Blackhawks lineup, because he's one of those true centermen. And so something to monitor BU's season to see when that ends and when he could make the jump over to the Blackhawks. Time now for the next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action on Sunday at the Dallas Stars. It's a weird 5:00 start, 4:30 pregame show. The Dallas Stars had their 10-game winning streak snapped today to the Colorado Avalanche. Dallas was up 4-2 in the second period. Colorado rallied to make it 4-4 to force overtime, and Colorado won in a shootout. So the Dallas Stars had their 10-game winning streak snap, but boy, they are a juggernaut. And they also added Tyler Myers and Michael Bunting at the trade deadline. So they had some enforcements coming that I imagine are going to make their Stars debut on Sunday. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, Jack Heinrich, our production crew of Sammy Martino, and our engineers, Nick Heppner and Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 6-3 loss to the Vancouver Canucks. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.